Hey there, and welcome to a very special dog lovers episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. It is an absolute joy to get to be here with Larry Randolph and Jennifer Marshall Bleakley, co-authors of the book Finding Grace, the inspiring true story of therapy dogs bringing comfort, hope, and love to a hurting world. Larry and his wife Susan co-founded Canines for Christ in 2007. And since then, they've seen the therapy dog program grow into an international volunteer-based ministry, reaching hundreds of thousands of people with God's love. And Jennifer is author of Joey and Project Solomon, as well as the Proverbs devotional series, which I can't wait to talk about. She has worked as a child and family grief counselor and holds a master's degree in mental health counseling from Nova Southeastern University. So Larry and Jennifer, thank you for taking time to come and talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, before we get into talking about these wonderful books, we like to ask all of our guests what your favorite prayer closet is. So where do you like to go to meet with God? And I'm just that each of you can share.
Go, Jen, you first.
Okay. let's see. For me right now, my prayer closet's changed based on season of life. And right now I am basically an Uber driver for my teenage daughter. So I do a lot of praying in the car these days. That's where it's the most focused time for me, praying with her. And then after dropping her off at school or whatever various activities she's going to, and praying on the drive home. So either that or on the back deck with my dog and my cat beside me. And I just love praying while petting an animal. So those are probably the two right now in this season.
I love it. And I feel like the car, it's just so detached. I mean, when you're driving, you can't be hopefully engaged in technology, social media,
right?
Anything. And so it is this place of clarity. I kind of liken it to the shower, you know, where you're in the shower, you're enclosed, there's really nothing else to do. And it's just very private and personal. But I love that you include praying for your kids while you're in the car. That's really good.
Kind of a captive audience all the way around. So
that's right. That's good. How about you, Larry?
Well, I'm a creature of habit. I have most of my adult life, barring a few changes, I have been an early morning person, and I get up early and I get my cup of coffee and I come into, you're looking at this prayer closet right here where I'm sitting. And I come in here every morning early and it's God and I. And I do what I call the two chairs. There's one chair, that's me, and there's another chair over here. And that's where God sits in his presence. And I study, I read, I talk to him, I listen to him. And it's been something I've done pretty much every day for so many years. And many times, in fact, most of my time for the last 15 years, Gracie, the therapy dog that was the focus of the book here in so many different stories, came in here with me and just laid right at my feet. And, she passed away a couple of months ago.
Oh,
and every morning when I come in here now, the last couple of months, I miss her because her presence was so powerful in here. And, but that's it's a beautiful time of just quietness, fellowship. There's nobody around. My wife's still sleeping. I'm here and God's here with me, and the presence of him, I can read and journal and just to have this wonderful alone time with him for, an hour or so. And then, but during the day, I pray a lot, but this is the quietest time I can get here. So it's a special time for me.
I love that you both brought in the importance of animals in your prayer life. What do you think about, what is it about animals? How do they enhance our spiritual lives, do you think?
I mean, I think for me, it's just that picture, that embodiment of God with us that, I also have a Gracie. In fact, she's sitting here right beside me. So,
yeah. Oh, sweet Gracie.
It's just, she doesn't care how I look. She doesn't, she's not bothered by, I don't have to wear a mask or pretend to be feeling something I might not. She's just with me. And, you know, that's how God invites us to come to him in prayer, is just as we are. And so for me, there's just something really powerful about praying with her beside me as that picture of come as you are.
We have a Gracie, my dog, when she, before she passed, her presence was so meaningful to me because of what she has done in this ministry for as long as she was alive. And a lot of times when I would, when she would come up and be my therapy dog, which I needed comfort and support from some kind of a visit I'd been on, seeing a lot of sadness in this ministry, she would just come up to me and nudge me and look at me and just ask me to pet her. And that warm sense of feeling to do that really let go of a lot of feelings I had. Now, I do have another dog. She's Sadie, and she's sitting here. Now, she's 5 years old, and she's different. She's different than Gracie. Gracie was more of a regal dog that you, when you saw her, you know, you could just sense something really special about her, therapy wise. Sadie is more of an in your face dog. She will stare at you, you know, when she, and that's a beautiful feeling, a beautiful way of a dog responding, because she'll look right in your eyes and she'll ask you to look in her eyes, and you can sense something like she's saying, it's okay. I mean, I love you. And that's a beautiful way of connecting with her. And so I connect with her like that. She was just in my face a couple of seconds ago. I had to put her, please let me just talk, okay? Because she wants attention all the time. So you mentioned that you have a black lab too, I think.
Yes,
you said, didn't you?
And I read that you had English labs too, which he's an English lab. We had a couple of American labs, but he's our first English lab. His name's Archie, and I had him in here, but he has gone off. Two of my kids are still at home this morning, and so I think he went off to solicit food or something. But yeah, but he's funny. He'll actually, he's an in your face dog as well. And he a couple of times that I've done online Bible studies, there was one time that it was on Zoom, and one of our Bible study participants had puppies that had been in the hospital with parvo, and that she had been able to bring them home. And I saw them, and I started doing, you know, the baby talk that you do about puppies, where you get this, you know, oh, you're so cute, oh, home. And he heard me doing that, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, he leapt up on my lap during our conversation, because he didn't like not being the center, or he thought I was talking to him.
Yes. Oh, how true that is. It's beautiful.
Well, what brought the two of you together? How did you come together to write Finding Grace? And who do you hope that this book will reach?
That's a great story, because I didn't have a plan of writing a book. And one day I got an email from the publisher, Tyndale. And they said, we heard about your ministry, and we heard about a little bit of story about you, and we'd like to maybe talk to you about writing a book. So can we explore it further? So I said, sure, let's explore it further. So they set up a conference call, a Zoom call with myself and the publishers and this beautiful young woman that's here on the screen today. And they peppered me with, I don't know, 2 hours of, must have been 200 or more questions, constantly just throwing things at me and trying to figure out, you know, how many things about the ministry and how it got started and about my life. And Jennifer didn't say anything. She was very quiet. I knew something was up here. I didn't really know her, and I really hadn't read any of her books. So at the end, they said, and this is Jen, and she is an author, and she has written this beautiful book called Joey. And, you know, we're going to ask her if she would like to participate in becoming a co-author. So that's how it kind of got started. And from there, I have been blessed to have Jen in my life. She has been a masterful storyteller. I have been able to journal 15 years of everyday visits in this ministry. And I think that shocked the publishers because they didn't have too many people that had kept records of all their activities. And so I had the privilege of being able to go through those journals over the years and give Jen the information about what I'd done. And then she weaved it into these beautiful tapestry of stories. It's beautiful. So that's how it got started.
Well, I just loved reading this book. It was, I mean, there's just story after story. I came away just with this glow of positivity and joy and just inspiration to reach people in their pain, because just seeing how you did that, it wanted me to, you know, to go visit people with a therapy dog. I don't know if Archie would qualify. He would jump up and lick their faces. He doesn't have manners at this point. He's a little too ambitious, but it was so detailed and so beautiful. So the two of you just did an incredible job of working together on this book.
Thank you
so much, Larry. It was a dream. There'd be a scene and I'm like, oh, I wish, do you happen to remember what you were thinking or what you might have prayed here? And like an hour later, he's got a journal entry. And I mean, it was just a writer's dream to work with someone that kept such great, and it wasn't just, you know, robotic. It was very feeling driven. And he just captured his prayers, his thoughts, his feelings. So it was a great partnership.
Yeah, I mean, I could see vivid pictures in my mind when I was reading the anecdotes. So
one thing that she said when she started was she lives in North Carolina and I live in Florida, so she came here for 2 days, she and the publisher, and spent 2 days with us in our home, and we took her out on some visits to show what we did. And this added a lot to her context to this ministry. So, and then from there, she knew when we wrote about visits, where we went with the third, she could just, that it was just so easy for her, I believe, to relate to that because she knew all about it then. So she did her research thoroughly. That's beautiful.
It was really hard, hard research too, you know.
Shadowing work.
Yeah, suffering for Jesus, I was.
Well, in the prologue, Larry, you described this time when God called you to begin a therapy dog ministry, kind of out of the blue. And I just, you know, we are a prayer podcast, and this book is just like chock full of examples of your prayer life, which I just love. But I particularly loved your description of reading scripture and how you sensed that God was speaking to you. Can you talk about that? Because I know God speaks to everyone differently. But there are some people that might be listening that just might be like, how does God talk to me? How do you know if God's talking to you? What is that like? And, you know, maybe they're new in their faith or new in their prayer life. Can you describe that experience?
Sure. Well, I think God speaks to you, does to me through his word. And, at this particular time in my life, when I was going with how it started with the ministry, is that I was reading a scripture that early morning, like I did every morning, and that was Proverbs 3, 5-7. And interesting scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he will set your path straight. It's a beautiful scripture. What does that mean, though, if you're not dealing with something? So at that particular time, I had this thought in my mind. It just came from God. He said, therapy dogs. And I didn't have a dog at that time. So that scripture was like, trusted the Lord. Okay. You know, what do I say here? Because I didn't have a dog and didn't understand what he was trying to put in front of me. But I had to trust in him and believe that his plan for me was going to be a beautiful plan. And thereby, that scripture, and throughout my journey of my talking to God, I listened to him through his word. and he talks to me through that that method. So, it's a beautiful way of me relating to God. And I believe in the presence of God surrounds me. He abides in me, and it's a beautiful way of communicating with Him. In that scripture that I just read, I just told you, is something that I almost read every day because it's like a go-to scripture in my life. And I count on that all the time. It's one of His promises, and I trust in His promises.
That is so good. And I mean, the point being, if you're not reading God's word, you're maybe not going to hear from Him as often as you would if you were in scripture. And you describe this feeling that you had, just kind of a quickening of your breath and sort of like, I don't know, can you talk about what that felt like, that you describe it as a familiar feeling when you think God is kind of highlighting a certain part of scripture and meaning something and needing you to dig deeper. So what was that like for you?
Bible talks about in that you the soft whisper of Christ, of God. And I believe that that was what affected me at that time, the soft, gentle whisper that I described. And I told Jen, in your mind, you have lots of different things that are just floating around like a movie theater all the time. But this particular time, it was my mind went blank. From the standpoint of anything else that was in there, the day's activities, the night before, whatever, it completely shut down except for that word, therapy dogs. Do something with therapy dogs. And that was God speaking to me. He cleared my mind out totally with that soft, gentle whisper. And it focused me to do something, not just say, oh, well, you know, that came from somebody or didn't, you know, I'm not going to do anything. It was so powerful enough where, you know, I couldn't do anything after that other than just my dear wife, God bless her. She came down the stairs about 30 minutes later from getting up. And I said, guess what? God spoke to me. What? Yes, yes. He told me to do something with therapy dogs. And she said, okay, well, we don't have a dog, dear. I said, I know, but that's, you know, he said, keep doing, you know, just follow me and I will guide your way. So anyway, it's a soft whisper that it's not sometimes the loud bang or, you know, maybe you don't get a tap on the shoulder, but maybe you just hear something very gently saying, trust me, take that first step and see what happens. And I'm a big believer in, if you don't take a step of faith, how do you know that what you're not going to do is not going to lead you into greater things that God has wanted you to do? So many stories in the Bible about people that have taken that first step of faith, trusted in God, and it's led to amazing things. And this ministry is just like that. The first step of faith I took, and God blessed the ministry from those points on. And now it's a ministry that's touched lives every day, and millions of people have been reached with it. Truly a God story.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Well, Jennifer, Finding Grace has all of these incredible stories of therapy dogs helping so many different kinds of people, whether it's the elderly, those in hospitals, neurodivergent people, people on the street. I mean, what are some ways that you can see therapy dogs bridging differences between people?
I think it goes back to that. They're just present with us. I think that was one of God's greatest kindnesses in giving us animals and pets is these creatures that just want to be with us. They're not bothered by how we look or our political affiliation or denomination. I mean, they don't care about socioeconomic stuff. They just want to be with us. And in some ways, I think they see the true us that we don't even see in each other because we get so distracted by the various labels that we put on each other or by abilities or disabilities or just all the things that we categorize people. And animals don't do that. They don't see that. They just see who we really are. And so I think that's part of what makes animals such great therapy partners and ministry partners, is because they can get to the heart of a person. And I think that's what the people that are being blessed by the therapy dogs, that's what they're responding to, is that someone, some living being, sees them, the real them that they wish the world saw. And that was something with the first book I ever wrote, Joey, which told the true story of a blind horse who helped people see hope. That was just so striking to me. One of the young men that I interviewed, he said Joey was the first, I think he used the word person, but the first being that really saw me. I'm like, the horse was blind, but the little boy felt seen, like really seen. And, you know, I see that over and over again with animals now, that like people will feel like that animal really saw me. And I think one of the stories that just stood out to me in the book that we shared that kind of highlights that was a story with Larry and Gracie at the psychiatric ward at the VA hospital, when they had a patient there that was very aggressive, very agitated. They're having a hard time getting him processed. And, you know, everything in that moment, I think a person would have wanted to just back away. But God had Gracie walk toward that man. And even I remember like interviewing Larry and writing that, and like I felt scared for Gracie. I'm like, no, don't go near the man. But God drew that dog forward, and she was able to calm that man down so much so they were able to process him. And I mean, the faith that Larry showed in trusting God to lead his dog, I'm sure he would have, you know, protected her had it come to that. But that trust that God had a plan in that moment, and just that picture where so many times when the world wants to back away, God wants to move forward. And that's such a gift that these animals give us.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I love how you put that when like our first reaction would be to back away from someone or to be afraid because they're different or because they seem threatening in some way or make us uncomfortable in some way. And that animals don't see that. And they, you know, are drawn sometimes to those needs. Yeah. I was really struck by, the Uvalde story, how therapy dogs were used to help traumatized kids and families, and even accompanied grieving families to funerals. Larry, could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I've been to Uvalde, so I can just tell you from firsthand experience the darkness that was encompassing that area when after those terrible tragedies for those people and those students. And we were able to, through our San Antonio office, respond immediately with, I think we had maybe 35 teams go down there over a couple of month period of time with the dogs to minister to people. And it was, it's interesting because with a tragedy like that, there's nothing to really, you don't have to say anything because you just have to be what's called the ministry of presence. You present yourself with God's love through these dogs, and the dogs, they, like Jen said, they don't care. I mean, they just want to, they feel the pain. It's interesting how a dog can feel your pain, feel your emotional pain, and feel your sadness. Your own dog, you know that, because when you're low, you're down for some reason, or you're hurting in some way, that your dog wants to come up to you, to be next to you. In Uvalde was the same way. There was almost everybody that was there that we touched had either been a relative or known one of the victims that had been shot. And these dogs came up to them with just, like I said, a warm nose and a wagging tail, mm-hmm. a friendly backside, pet me, cuddle me, love me. And what a joy. It just was so overwhelming to just see some of these people just love and hold and cry, whether they were just crying with their heads in the fur of these dogs, but it was brought comfort to them in the midst of a pain. And and we still are there today. We are actually going to go back several times a month to visit with some of the the leftover situations that have been involved in that community. So it's a wonderful way of therapy dogs. Now, going back to therapy dogs, there are many therapy dogs, but there's not any, if not any, Christian therapy dogs. We are Jesus with fur. So we come in with a message of Christ's love and hope, and kindness to people. And we promote that message to people so that they can find Jesus if they don't have him already, but they can know him through using these beautiful dogs. So that's the difference that we have. The dogs are just a vessel that opens the door to share Christ.
Well, and these stories are, I mean, all of the stories, you know, talk about basically a springboard to opening people up in ways that they never would if you just encountered them on the street without an animal. It's like you would just, you know, describe these stories of meeting a total stranger, and because of the dog, you know, they're sitting there, they have something to do with their hands, and it's an entryway into their lives, but then they just start spilling their story. And Larry, you, it sounds like, use it as a springboard to just pray with them and talk about Jesus.
Yeah, I'm looking for that opportunity, and I'm always letting the dog do their job first, because they're the ones that create open the door. Yeah. They're the icebreaker. People will pet a dog first before they'll come talk to a person. So as you know, you take your dog out in the walk him in the yard or the street, you know, and the neighbor will come up and they'll create an up. It creates an opportunity, and people are, in our society, are a little shy about opening up a conversation with somebody about faith or prayer, but the dog will lead you into that. So we tell all our volunteers, you think you're shy, and that's okay, but just let your dog start the conversation, and then you can talk about other things, about faith and prayer. And we've had opportunity to talk to people and lead them to Christ because of this ministry, and how we move in different directions from there, and start Bible studies. We have we can get into that in a little bit if you want to, what we call dog church, where we brought dogs into special needs environments and had church services where they've never had a church service before. Just lots of opportunities. So, but it's all started with the dog, the therapy dog.
Well, I would love for you.
One of the most beautiful things when I was shadowing Larry and one of the other volunteers, Chaplain Steve, that day, it was such a simple springboard, but it was so powerful. As I kept hearing them talk, you know, looking at the dog, we were with Ginger that day, a reddish brown golden retriever, and Ginger's tail would be wagging and she would be happy to see someone. And Steve and Larry would just point out, like, do you see how happy the dog is to see you? She's so happy to see you, see her wagging tail. And do you know, God is so happy with you. God loves you just like Ginger loves you. And it was just such a natural way to kind of bring God into the conversation. And then the look on people's face, just to imagine a world in which the God of the universe is more delighted than this dog to know them. It was just a really powerful teaching opportunity for me too, just how to bring that in.
Wow. That is incredible. And do you, do either of you really have a favorite story about a time when the dogs have opened doors for prayer? Or, I mean, I guess Jennifer, you just shared one, but, you know, Larry, do you have a favorite story of how God opened doors through the dogs to pray with people or to minister to them?
I have a lot of stories, but I'll keep it short. I'll put it that way. I could talk all day about this ministry, but I think one of the greatest stories I've had, I just was talking about dog church, and that I got a call one day from a lady that had said, I heard about you at the VA hospital as I was a chaplain there, volunteer chaplain with our dog. And I heard about what you're doing there at the hospital, and I run a special needs facility. We have about 70 special needs adults in our facility, and I think they would really like a therapy dog. And would you consider coming and visit us? Now, this special needs, she said, I want to tell you, some of them are really low functioning, they have very little communication skills, and some of them are a little bit better than that. But I believe they would love to have a dog come in. I said, okay, we'll see. So I took the first dog we had. When we started the ministry, I remember I said I didn't have a dog. I had to borrow a dog. So I borrowed my daughter's dog. And Cody was the dog's name, a beautiful golden retriever. And so I said, yes, I'll come in. And so I took Cody in. And that started a ministry of prayer, because those people in there, they didn't really know how to pray. They didn't know how to worship. Through Cody, the first dog, he started the communication to open, because those people were very stoic in their mannerisms. They were very their attitudes, they're just were kind of, a lot of them were nonverbal, but when you would bring the dog in, it was changed. I mean, the dog would be wagging his tail all over the place, and they would just kind of like go nuts. And it was then I could say, God loves you today. And the administrators were there. And I said, would you mind if I just prayed with everybody? And we started a prayer list. And from day one, we started getting people to start letting us pray with them, communicate. And now we have, over the years, we've reached hundreds of people there. And it started this dog church, where we have a church service going on once a week, and it used to be every week. But now for COVID and all, it stopped because of restrictions. But and we take dogs in, and they do the same thing. They mingle with all the students, and we sing praise music to them. We pray with them. We give Bible lessons. We talk to them about Jesus and God's powerful love, and things have changed there. It's went from being a very kind of a depressing place to a joyful place when we come in. When we come in there, you can hear the screaming out in the streets, Gracie's here! Gracie's here! Oh, Cody's here! We used to be, but now it's Gracie or Ginger's here, and they just go crazy. It's just a beautiful thing. It's God's love. It's a beautiful time of love and just fellowship, and it's just special. But it all started from one dog and then prayer, and then God just opened the doors for us.
That is incredible. Well, Jennifer, before we leave, I definitely want you to tell us a little bit about your books, Proverbs for a Dog Lover's Heart and Proverbs for Kids.
Yeah, Proverbs was born kind of after writing Joey, and just that seed of how God communicates to us through animals, how he reaches people through animals, and a conversation with my publisher, Sarah, the same one that reached out to Larry, who she's an avid dog lover herself, animal lover, and we were just kind of talking about brainstorming what might be next. And I had told her that the very first thing I ever wrote was for my kids. It was stories that I made up for them about our golden retriever. And in my imaginary world, she had puppies. And as we were reading through Proverbs with my kids as a family, our golden retriever, Sunny, would listen to the proverb and then take the lesson to her puppies, and she would teach her puppies. And so I named the stories Proverbs. And that was just something that I just did for my kids. And I mentioned that to Sarah. She loved the title, and she saw it as devotional. So it was just so sweet of God to kind of pull all of these little elements throughout life together. And so the first book, the original Proverbs book, is 100 stories of all different kind of animals. And it really is just pairing biblical proverbs with animal stories, and then just inviting God to teach us through the animals he's sprinkled on the planet. And then we did Proverbs for a Dog Lover's Heart, Proverbs for a Cat Lover's Heart. And then much to my delight, I was able to write a children's book. That was my, since Proverbs started as stories for my kids, it was so important to me to write a book for children. So that book just released in September, and the first volume and the second one will be out in the spring. It's creatively titled More Proverbs for Kids. So, and they're just sweet stories about real animals, real people, pointing our hearts to a real God. And they're a delight to write. And there's something that I would have loved to have had and to read. So it's just a joy to get to write the story, the Proverbs family.
Oh, I just love this. I love all of these books and just the joy. And I don't know, I just feel like the joy that comes from animal stories is great in and of itself, but to pair it with pointing people to Christ is just amazing. So thank you both for this work, for Finding Grace, for these Proverbs books. I know that our listeners, a lot of them are animal lovers. Alana and I are animal lovers, and yeah, just I cannot recommend these books highly enough for just bringing joy and really inspiring us to love others. And, you know, if you have an animal, not to discount the fact that your animal can be involved in sharing the gospel with someone or opening doors for prayer. So thanks for that.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you.
Well, Larry, can you just give us a quick update on what Canines for Christ is up to now? It's been what, how many years? 13, 14?
Oh, 2007 is when the ministry started. So, okay. But as of today, remember, we didn't have a dog. We have, I think it's up to maybe 1,300 volunteers.
Wow. And 38
in several foreign countries. So the ministry continues to grow and evolve. And that's all through God's blessings. And we touch people every day throughout some part of this country and in other parts of the world. And it's a message of God's love that we share through using these beautiful creatures that God has given us. And we're just so blessed to have people join us. And I would encourage your listeners to go to our website and look at that. And then you can click on the volunteer link and it tells you how to join the ministry and then go out and serve and with your dog and make somebody's life a beautiful day by using your beautiful dog and God's love that's in your heart. And it really can change people's lives. And it does. And that's what this book is about, Finding Grace. It's about changing lives. Somebody that needs to do something with their life that has a doubt, you can change your life by becoming a volunteer in this ministry and letting see what God can do to make your life a meaningful purpose if you're looking for that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, where can our listeners find you both, find your books, and connect with you on social media?
The books are available wherever books are sold. So whichever bookseller you prefer, you can find it there. And for me, jenniferblakely.com will get you to my website. The easiest way, honestly, is probably just to search hashtag Proverbs, and you'll find me. Wherever there's a good animal pun, I try to be real close by.
I love it. Larry, what about you?
We have a Finding Grace book page, a Facebook book page that's, you know, it tells you all about what's this, you know, and some things about the book. But you can get me through my email address, caninesforchrist@gmail. That's canines and the number for Christ at gmail. And reach me, and I'd be happy to share anything that any stories or any talk to anybody about this ministry. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, how can we pray for each of you today?
You want to go ahead, Larry?
Yes. I would like to pray that that Finding Grace, this beautiful book, reaches the hearts and minds of people so that their lives can be closer to Christ, and that but that God gets all the glory. It's not about me or any dog in this book or anybody else. It's about God getting the glory. And that's what we said from the beginning, and that's what I'd like to pray for.
Absolutely. How about you, Jennifer?
I think just in this season of book launching and turning in another manuscript today, just continue to seek God's. I like to think that I'm just a faucet, and I just continually pray that he pours himself in and out of me. So I'm just continuing to pray just that he would give me the stories he wants me to share, and then equip me to share those stories. And then just in his grace and mercy, he would touch many hearts through that. And there's no better feeling than writing something and you feel like God's speaking to you as you're writing it. And then also, you know, that he'll speak to others. So just continuing to pray that he would just pour himself in and out, not about the faucet, just about him.
I love that. Well, thank you both again so much for joining us on the podcast, for pouring yourselves into these books and this work. I just know that it's going to be such a blessing to so many. So thank you both.
Thank you.
All right, let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this time. Thank you for animals. Thank you for your creation. Just the creativity that is exhibited in your creation, Lord. The joy that we get from the different creatures and elements of your creation, but especially animals. The way that you display some of your attributes in the least of these, in these dogs that that can somehow relate to people in ways and open doors that we couldn't do ourselves. God, we just ask that you would just pour out your blessings on Canines for Christ. God, that you would just continue to bear fruit in this ministry that started with just kind of a crazy word from you, that Larry was obedient in taking steps to follow. We just thank you for his obedience. We thank you for his love for this ministry and just the ways that you have used him and used these volunteers and these dogs to transform lives and point people to Christ. Lord, we just pray that this book, Finding Grace, would reach the hearts and minds of people and just reach people who would not normally pick up a Bible study or the Bible, and that they would meet you in this book, that they, people that don't know you would be saved and would meet Jesus, and people that have turned their back on you would be softened and their hearts would be reopened to the truth of the gospel, and people that are hurting and broken would be healed and mended and restored. God, you are such a redeemer, and we just pray that this book would redeem people from out of their pain. We pray that people would be inspired to join this amazing ministry, and that you would just use the book, use the ministry to just glorify yourself in every way. We pray for Jennifer, just for her book launch, for continued guidance and inspiration for the next steps for her books, and just for vision, for energy, for creativity as she continues to write and continues to seek your next steps. And for both Jennifer and Larry, God, we just pray your blessings on their homes, your protection, your provision, and that you would be glorified in their lives and through them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Praying Christian Women podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment to let us know what questions or topics we can address in future shows. Then hop over to prayingchristianwomen.com/journal to download your free prayer guide. We're so glad you joined us for today's show, and we wish you God's deepest blessings as you draw closer to Him and change the world one prayer at a time.